Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2022. And it is the fifth Sunday in Lent. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here for this time of worship and reflection, some music and silence as we celebrate our life together in Christ. So as we begin, let's prepare ourselves for worship. Get yourself comfortable. Allow yourself to breathe. Pay attention to your breathing. Turn your face toward the heavens. And think about those people and places that bring a smile to your heart. Those things that are good and true and pure and lovely and worthy. And with this in mind and in heart, let's begin in worship. Join with me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. You can find that bulletin over to the right of where you found today's podcast. Click on that notes tab and the bulletin will come up. Join with me, please. Family of God, we gather as who we are, and we bring what we have. Let us encounter the new thing God is doing among us. We bring joy and sorrow, hope and despair, resources and need, certainty and questions. Let us engage the new thing God is doing among us. In this space, we meet the one who parts seas, creates paths, and changes circumstances. Let us encourage the new thing God is doing among us. Friends, our gospel reading comes from John's gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. God, we come to you and we pray. We thank you for the gift of your word alive among us. And we pray that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, we will hear what it is you have to say to us today. Teach us. Open the eyes of our hearts and our minds so that we could see you and hear you and experience you here and now. As a preacher, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. We ask all of this in your holy name and say, Amen. The fifth Sunday in Lent, and we are invited by John to attend a party. And a party that you would think would be really kind of lighthearted and full of rich celebration. It's a party at the house of Lazarus. Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. We hear all about that in the previous chapter, in chapter 11 of John. And it's 6 days before the Passover. The holiday is coming. Lazarus is alive. He wouldn't be if Jesus hadn't called him from the dead. And our friend Jesus, who did all this, is coming to dinner. And they're making the appropriate preparations. Clearly, Martha has been busy prepping, and we learn that she's serving. There should be an air of celebration in the air, but there is clearly tension in the room. Because of all the players that are there, we learn at the end of chapter 11 that this miracle that Jesus has performed resulted in a good number of people following him. They want to know more about this miracle-working rabbi who seems to have control even over life and death. But the more orthodox among them are suspicious. He must be a deceiver. This cannot be as good as it seems. And the people just seem to be mindlessly going after him. And so they consult with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the people who think deeply about these things, the people who are in control. The people who see that as he does what he does, this Jesus is threatening their control and the order of things. And so he is marked for death. And so thick is the tension around this that Jesus could no longer walk about openly among them. And he went from there to Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he remained there with the disciples. That's John 11:54. So Jesus has been laying low, but the Passover has come, and he's returning to Jerusalem for the Passover and everything that is there. But on the way, he attends this dinner party. So here we have Jesus marked for death. His disciples not sure exactly what to expect when they return to Jerusalem, because they know that their rabbi is marked for death and it might mean them too. So they all gather at this house in Bethany. Mary is serving, or Martha is serving, and Mary is hanging on every word. We've heard a similar scene like this in Luke's Gospel in the 10th chapter of Mary and Martha, Martha diligently working, Mary hanging on every word, sitting at the feet of the teacher. Similar scene here in John. Mary, though, in this telling, in John's gospel, Mary takes a pound of perfume. And she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. I can imagine something just built up in her. She was so excited to receive him as a guest. And they had a house full of people, but it couldn't wait. She purchased the perfume, which it must have taken her years to save up enough money for this perfume. But he is present in the house now, and he's heading to Jerusalem, but she is in his presence now, taking in the teaching, and now she wants to pour everything out for him. And she does this thing which culturally is incredibly inappropriate. She takes her hair down in front of a group of men, which is scandalous. It's something that a proper Jewish woman would only do in her home in the presence of her husband. So it's awkward and tense. Some of the men in the room might be fighting off thoughts that they're having as she takes her hair down. But then it just keeps getting more uncomfortable because she pours this perfume on Jesus' feet and she wipes them with her hair. And I imagine the room is silent. Maybe Martha drops a bowl in the kitchen. And to cut the tension, Judas Iscariot speaks up. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? Now, John lets us in on this. John gives us a little bit of background. We learn that Judas is getting ready to betray Jesus. We learn that Judas has been stealing money from the common purse. He doesn't really have any regard for the poor. But they don't know that. The other disciples might hear what Judas says and go, you know what? We've made it our mission everywhere we go to offer something to the poor. And 300 denarii would go a long way in that mission. What are you doing? Mary, what are you doing? And you're making us all really uncomfortable right now. In this act of spontaneous love, an outpouring of humility and faith, and a complete confession of her understanding of the urgency of the hour, of her love for Jesus, it's all lit up in her. She knows who he is, and she knows why he's come, and she knows the price that he will pay. And maybe the only people in that room that seem to have clarity on this are Mary and Martha. If we remember back in chapter 11, it might be a good idea for you to read chapter 11. You could pause or go back to it today, read 11 and 12 in John's gospel. As Jesus came back into town when Lazarus was dead, he came back into town and he first encountered Martha. Martha, who said to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And they have this exchange. And at the end of that exchange, she said to him, "Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Messiah, Christ, anointed one. The anointed one who is being anointed in their presence, and the fragrance of the anointing fills the room. The stench of death is in the air still, but in most present, most powerfully among them is the anointing of the Messiah, the scent of life in the midst of that which is passing. Mary and Martha seem to know what's going on. Jesus responds to Judas, and I believe all of them, and to us as well. Jesus says in response to what Judas has to say about what Mary is doing, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The urgency of the moment in that time and in that place. Mary so moved to act from her heart and from her treasure to do what matters most, and that is to express her love and adoration for Jesus. Mary, who lives in Bethany. Bethany, which is translated as house of the poor. So what do we do with this story? How can we take it into ourselves and apply it to our own lives? Here on the fifth Sunday in Lent, when we consider stories about who God is and who we are and the relationship we have with God and who Jesus is and why he came and why it makes a difference, I think we can identify with parties like this, parties that for at their center, the inspiration for the party itself is good, but everyone comes into the room with their own tensions. And someone does or says something spontaneous, maybe awkward or inappropriate, and then someone chimes in and it seems to fall apart, but we need the voice of reason to come in and sort it all out for us. 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before the defining story of this community is celebrated, the story of liberation from oppression and captivity, Jesus goes where first? To the house of the poor. To the place of resurrection. And there's a dinner for him there. A dinner where he is celebrated. a dinner that celebrates life. Lazarus, life. Jesus, life-giving ministry. And the response cannot be scarcity. The response can't be rationed or apportioned. The response to the presence of Jesus needs to be extravagant. Pouring it all out. Letting our inhibitions and the pressure of culture and orthodoxy, to let that be pushed aside, so that for the moment in the midst of the celebration, with joy and tears and humility, that all of us in our own way could just spontaneously drop at the feet of the teacher and give thanks and praise for life and liberation from captivity, from sin and death. They've seen it. Martha and Mary have seen it, and they respond in their own ways. Mary does it with spontaneity, and Martha does it with diligence. Look at the story in Luke 10, 38 through 42. Jesus kind of reprimands Martha. But as an introvert, myself, I appreciate Martha. I appreciate the person who's in the kitchen listening to everything that's going on. And that her way of participating is to make sure the place is just right, to make room for the celebration, to tidy the place up, make sure everyone has a place to sit. And because she's taken care of the details, Mary can do her thing too. And together they offer us a beautiful representation of what it means to be community, what it means to be church. Someone's taking care of the details, making sure everyone has a place to sit and that the place is clean and that there's good food for the potluck and that there's a rich, authentic expression of worship and praise. A sense of urgency that God is with us, that this is all going somewhere, and that somewhere is good. In the context of this story, this is all going somewhere, and that somewhere is Jerusalem. And we'll go there next week. We'll go down through the valley and up through the hill and through the gate, and we'll hear the shouts of Hosanna. And we'll play out the story of the Passion of the Christ and the visiting at the tomb with anointing oils, with the things necessary for a proper burial. And then on the third day, we will find cause for celebration eternal. Spend some time. Read this story and read it again. Find your place. Are you one at the table? Are you in the kitchen? Are you at Jesus' feet? Or at any point, are you in some one or the other of these characters? Can you smell the food and the perfume? Can you notice the details? And then celebrate that this party is for you too. You're invited right there and then so that you can celebrate here and now. Because it is Jesus that calls us from the grave. Because it is Jesus that saves us from the dead end. Because it is Jesus that gives us eyes to see the world around us. To live our lives with an urgency and an extravagance. In the world, we will have trouble, he promises us, and goes on to promise us his peace, because this is all going somewhere, and it doesn't end in a grave. It ends in life eternal, and in the light, the love of our great God Almighty, and that is tremendous good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift, for the celebration that we find in our Gospels. We thank you for inviting us today to participate in this party and to be at the feet of our Lord Jesus and to learn. We pray that each and every one of us are healed in the ways that we need to be healed and inspired in the ways that we need to be inspired. We confess that we get it wrong a lot. But we also claim the promises of our faith that when we come to you in humility, when we fall to your feet, we know there is forgiveness there, and we are eternally grateful. We pray, dear God, for the world around us, for all the trouble in the world, for all the tension in the world, for all the places in the world that need your healing. We ask that you put an end to the violence. We ask, O God, that you feed those who are hungry, that you bind the wounds of those who are injured, that you make visible the people that feel invisible. Pray that you will humble the proud, that you will bless those who imagine themselves to be powerful, that you will bless them with humility, that you would make all of humankind an agency of your grace and peace. And we pray, God, the prayers of our own hearts, we offer to you the prayer list that we keep with us. You know these things, God, the things that make us smile and the things that make us worry. So we take a quiet moment, God. We make space for peace and for quiet. And we share with you the prayers of our hearts. And we break our silence. We thank you, O God, for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for the traditions, the stories, and the prayers and the songs of our church. Among them is this prayer that you taught your disciples. This prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, I pray that you will go out into this day and into the week ahead inspired, that you could capture some of Mary's spontaneity and faith and make it your own, that you could capture some of Martha's diligence and quiet reflection and make it your own, that you could take some of Lazarus's gratitude and make it your own, and that you would understand the urgency of the gospel, that the world would know the truth, that God loves us and cares for us and is calling us home. This God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.